to hide. You're a fighting soldier on their side. You're still a soldier in your mind, but nothing's on the line. Say it's money that we need, as if we're only mouths to feed. I know no matter what you say, there's some debts you'll never pay.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is L. Randall Ray, who's a professor of economics and the research director of the Center for Full Employment and Price Stability at the University of Missouri, Kansas City, and a senior scholar at the Levy Economics Institute. Welcome to Background Briefing, Randall Ray.
Hi, Ian.
And what did you think of the president's speech, his before the Congress? He seemed feisty. He seemed ready to, in effect, shame them into action. Do you think they're going to swallow any of the bitter pills that he's presented them?
Well, I heard the last few minutes of Rob Johnson, and I agree with him. I thought it was a strong speech. I think that the proposal was a little bit better than we expected. And he said he was going to go around the country and really push this hard. So, yeah, I think it's better than what we expected.
And in terms of what you have been urging, Randall Ray, which is more direct spending in the way that the Roosevelt did with the WPA, the WPA, I should say,
right.
The notion that you get sort of more bang for the buck in terms of demand by direct spending on jobs, as opposed to these indirect ways of extending unemployment benefits and extending payroll tax cuts. The president seemed to indicate that there was some of that, but what kind of a mix do you think there's in it?
Well, I didn't hear him mention at all any direct job creation by the federal government. What I heard was extending some things we already have, payroll tax holiday for workers, unemployment benefits. But no, none of that is new spending. It's just extending spending that we've already done. That creates no new jobs at all. It just prevents further job losses. Now, he is going to give some more tax breaks to business. Payroll tax holiday will be extended to business and some other tax credits for investments. The problem with that is that firms are not hiring because they don't have sales. It has nothing to do with taxes. It has nothing to do with regulations. It has nothing to do with red tape. He's promising to reduce all those things. But the reason firms aren't hiring is because they don't have any sales. There isn't much in the plan here. Now, of course, we don't have all the details, but I didn't hear much that is new that's going to create many jobs. And right after his speech on NPR, there were estimates that by private economists, not by the administration, that the total package here might create 1.5 million jobs. We're 20 to 25 million jobs short. So obviously it comes up short.
So we've got 14 million unemployed Americans looking for jobs, about 4 million job seekers for every vacancy, they're competing with 8.8 million part-time workers who are hoping to land a full-time job. And then you have to add to that the roughly 2.6 million people who gave up looking for a job, and you've got about 25 million people needing work. And you're saying that he's only going to add, 1 million or so?
Yeah, 1.5 million, I guess, is what they're projecting.
At a price tag of $450 billion? So that's in essence, your argument is that if this was direct spending like the WPA, you would get real jobs and you get real money coming back into the economy, creating demand so that firms could start hiring people because they'd actually be customers for their product.
For $450 billion, you could employ every single person now seeking a job in America at a good pay. Every single one of them. So we would go to zero unemployment. We would create the 25 million jobs that we need for that amount of money. So yes, by far the least costly way is to create jobs rather than trying to raise business confidence and hope that they might hire someone through expensive tax cuts. You just go ahead and create the jobs.
So I take it, Randall Ray, all of this other stuff that was presented by the president are just working within the political parameters, because I was trying to, with Rob Johnson, trying to figure out how he's going to, what kind of economic alchemy is going on here in terms of the $1 trillion cuts that the super committee is supposed to oversee. And somehow or other, these extra $450 billion isn't actually an extra cost. It's going to come out of a series of cuts that are going to be made by reforming the tax codes, getting the wealthy to pay taxes, and modest cuts in Medicare. You went on to say we have to reform Medicare to strengthen it. What's your sense of that kind of alchemy?
Well, we ought to have a little truth in advertising. He's going to cut Medicare and Medicaid in order to save it. That's not a reform, it's a cut. Again, there's a lot of hazy talk here, because he's saying that he's going to pay for every penny of that $450 billion. And so rather than the $1.5 trillion that this super committee has to look for in spending cuts, they're going to have to look for $2 trillion in spending cuts, because he's added this $450 billion plan. So that still all needs to get sorted out, and we've got to see how are we going to be creating any new jobs if we're going to be cutting spending somewhere else. I don't know the answer to that.
So just then, if the economics are difficult to figure out here, or the how it's going to be achieved, what about the politics? What about the notion that the Republicans are vulnerable at home, that they're getting an earful, and that the president says he's prepared to go literally out to every part of the nation and I suppose, embarrass them?
Well, he should have done that day one when he came into office. That's fairly obvious. I think his whole political strategy I'm talking about now has been flawed from the very beginning. The Republicans, and I think we've talked about this in the past, they just have no interest in cooperating. The worse the recession, the better they thought their prospects. Now, I think that has come back to bite them a bit. I think the voters were just so upset at this fake debate that went on in Washington for many weeks about the debt limits and deficit cutting, when it was pretty obvious that what Congress and the president should have been working on is job creation all along, that I think that it has hurt Republicans just about as much as it hurt Obama. So right now is a good opportunity to go out and try to sell something big. I think he could have sold something bigger. I think direct job creation is not a political impossibility. If you have a president out pushing it every day in every city in the country, as he says he's going to do, he could push direct job creation too.
So I was talking earlier with Rob Johnson about how the markets repudiated the debt ceiling deal that was done. Not only has left the public with a distaste for Congress and particularly the Republicans, it was clear that the markets tanked very shortly thereafter, because $1 trillion had been cut out of a sick economy. It makes no sense economically. Now, that if the professionals in business and the economists and the people who actually know, is there any way that they can get the message to these Republican lawmakers? Who we know that they are following a kind of rigid ideology that the deficits are all that matter, and that we just have to get rid of all, you know, social programs in order to pay down these debts. And they keep referring to future generations and all of this stuff. You know, it's difficult to know whether it's real ideology or there's something else going on here. So what's going to change the political calculus here to get these lawmakers off a theoretical ideological stance and deal with the real problems that real people have with the real economy?
Yeah, well, I think the stump speeches by Obama will help there. The recent economic data has been fairly consistently bad. I think that we are double dipping into recession. That will also get the attention of voters and maybe the attention of Washington. So I think the economic reality is starting to sink in. Businesses are going to start worrying about their own sales and start to see the connection that as the first stimulus package ran out, the economy, this is a very huge economy. It takes a long time for things to turn around. But when the stimulus ran out last summer, the recovery faltered, and now we're seeing a downturn and zero job creation now, you know. So I think maybe business will start to see the light that deficit cutting does no good at all when you're going into a recession.
So you're just a general critique then, as we close out here, Randall Ray, your feeling is that this is what, a step in the right direction? I'm having trouble figuring out how this can be achieved. And it can only be achieved, I guess, if there's a major shaming process that goes on here by the president and by the American people out there in these electorates when these candidates go to town halls. And presumably, you know, if the president's on the road chasing after them. What's your sense?
Yeah, I think all of that is correct. And as Obama stressed several times, everything in his package has been supported by both parties in the past. And he needs to embarrass Republicans who are now coming out against things that they've supported in the past. Again, a lot of this is just extending what we're already doing and going back to good old Reagan supply-side economics. If you can stimulate business enough and if you can raise their confidence, then you start creating jobs. All of those are Republican themes. So there's really not that much in here that goes against what the vast majority of people in Washington have long supported. So I guess that there's a fairly good chance that he can get a big part of this. Now, I don't know if he's going to say all or nothing, going to try to push that, because it could be that the things that are more likely to do good might get stripped out, and the things like restoring business confidence that I don't believe is going to do any good at all, those things might get left in, and that would mean that we're not going to get much out of this package.
Well, I thank you for joining us here today, Randall Ray, and we'll stay in touch and hope for the sake of everybody in this country that some, adult supervision will take place here, and that the unnecessary impoverishment of millions of Americans will stop, and the country can restore itself and get people back to work. It seems like a no-brainer, doesn't it? But it's not what's been happening lately.
No, and in fact, you know, the job creation during our so-called recovery here is worse than during the Great Depression. And the difference is the New Deal. If we had a New Deal job creation program, we could restore those jobs fairly quickly. We need 300,000 jobs per month. This package is not going to get us there.
Well, again, I thank you for joining us, Randall Ray.
Thanks.
Again, I've been speaking with L. Randall Ray, who's a professor of economics and the research director of the Center for Full Employment and Price Stability at the University of Missouri, Kansas City, and a senior scholar at the Levy Economics Institute. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking to the authors of this new book, The 11th Day, The Full Story of 9/11 and Osama bin Laden.
Public action figures, the cowboy presidents, so loud behind the bullhorn, so proud they can't admit when they made a mistake. While poison spews from a speechwriter's pen, he knows he don't have to say it, so it don't bother him.